Blessings is the title of this message in Psalm 100. We will look at all five verses. There's only five, so we should be able to get down there and get some of that melon that BJ was talking about. And so I'm looking forward to that. I like that. Psalm 100, and you should have an outline in your a bulletin as well, so that you can fill in the blanks and those things as well. Do stay for the meal after the message as well. You'll be glad that you did. If nothing else, for the fellowship that is ours to enjoy as well. You know, we count a lot of things in life. We count on each other. We count our money, what little bit we have. Doesn't, you know, take much sometimes. Doesn't take very long. We count the cost sometimes before we start on something as well. And hopefully we count our blessings. We consider a lot of things as a blessing, do we not? We count our home as a blessing. We count a good paying job as a blessing, and a happy, healthy family as a blessing as well. A comfortable retirement, and you know, all of those things are, you know, we would consider those to be a blessing. And so those things are a blessing. They make life more comfortable, enjoyable, and sometimes pleasant as well. And so we consider those to be blessings as well. But I want us to count the worth of our blessings on a little higher level than some of those things. Well, you say, but I don't understand, because you just talked about family and you talked about health and home and those type of things as well. I want us to consider a blessing as something that makes us happy. You know, sometimes that's what we call a blessing, because, you know, we were blessed today with good weather, you know, and those type of things. But I want us to go, like I said, just a little bit higher than that. God's blessings are much higher than that. And so we need to think higher than that. A blessing isn't simply something that makes life easier. A blessing is something that God gives us that has value far beyond this present life. In other words, the blessings of God transcend the physical. They enter into the eternal, into the spiritual aspect of our lives as well. And so I believe that those blessings that God bestows upon us, we'll talk about some of those here in just a minute, transcend what we consider as the earthly blessings, and they are. We enjoy them. They're satisfying in life. But God's blessings are actually a lot higher than that, and as well they should be. And so let me ask you this, and be honest. You say, well, why wouldn't I? Which would you consider to be blessed? The person that has a beautiful house, plenty of money, and a nice car, or the person that doesn't have much money but has peace with God and knows Jesus Christ as Savior, the assurance of heaven, and knowing that God is with me? Which of those two would you consider to be blessed of God? You see, so we have to be careful in some of these things that we count our blessings with when we consider what God wants to do in our life, how God wants to bless in our lives as well. And so the world would choose the first, the guy that's got the house, the money, the cars, and you know, the vacations and all of those things. And those things are nice and they're satisfying, and he would consider himself to be fortunate, perhaps I should say, rather than blessed. But know this, houses can burn. Money can disappear rather quickly, is it not true? Health can fail. Possessions can be taken away, but there's blessings of God that cannot be taken away. The blessings of God, because they transcend the physical and they move off into the spiritual and into the eternal. And this is what Psalm 100 wants us to count. He says, I want you to count these blessings of God in your life. We have to look away from considering, you know, the blessings of money and health and even health and those things, and concentrate on the blessings of God Himself, is what Psalm 100 is going to tell us. The hymn says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. It doesn't say count your possessions one by one. As you think about your blessings, let's take a look at the first one. Would you consider counting the blessing of His presence? Would you consider counting the blessing of His presence? Take a look. And that's misspelled up there. The guy that did that was... Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. It says, come before His presence with singing. Notice something important here. The psalmist does not begin with the things that God gives, that we would consider a blessing. Oh, God blessed me with a new car yesterday. He doesn't start off there. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And He says, come before His presence with singing. He begins with God Himself. God, we need to count the fact that God's presence in my life is the first and foremost, the highest blessing that I could ever experience. And that is God Himself and His very presence in my life. The greatest blessing isn't what's in God's hand. The greatest blessing is God Himself. God is our highest blessing. You know, we spend a lot of time asking God for His blessings. Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless my finances. Lord, bless my plans. There's nothing wrong asking God to bless those things. But sometimes we become so interested in the blessings that God provides that we forget the one who is blessing us. He's the one that we ought to count as our blessing, first and foremost in our lives, when we begin to count them one by one. The psalmist says, come before His presence. What a blessing. What a blessing. God allows us to come into His presence. You know, there are some people, not in this room, but there are some people, I wouldn't open my door if they rang the doorbell. You know what I'm saying? And you probably have some people like that too. God says, come on in. Come on in and come in here where I am and come and dwell with me. Spend time with me. Because isn't that a blessing of life? You know, that we get to come right into His very presence, come before His presence. And He says, with singing, and we'll find out in a minute why we make a joyful noise and why we want to serve the Lord with gladness and not drudgery. It's because of who God is. But right now He says, you know, come before His presence. God allows us to come into His presence. You see, when Adam, if you remember Adam before he sinned, you know, he was enjoying the presence of God. Sin entered into his life. And he ran and he hid. We don't have to run and hide. We can go right into God's very presence. The Bible says that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. Imagine a little child who has everything he needs. He's got food. He's got clothing. He's got a warm bed. He's got all the toys that he wants. And so Grandma and Grandpa did that. But the greatest thing a child wants isn't another toy. You know what the child wants? The child wants Dad. Sometimes the child doesn't want what Dad can give him. He simply wants to spend time with Dad and Mom. That's the way it ought to be with the child of God. We shouldn't simply want what's in God's hand. We ought to want God's presence in our life and to consider that the blessing of life. I may not have everything that I want, but I have the presence of God, and that makes me blessed because of the presence of God. And I count that a blessing that I can come into His very presence. As you think about your blessings, would you count the blessing of His power in your life as well? Look at verse 3. First part of it, it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We forget about that sometimes, do we not? We begin to set ourselves up in that spot on the throne of our lives as well. And then we begin to worship ourselves, you see. That's the way it happens. Because I want this, I want that. And we get upset with God because I'm not getting this, I'm not getting that. Life is not turning out too well. And the direction of life. And that's because we didn't make us. God made us. And He says, and not we ourselves. It is He that hath made us. How could God make us? Because He is God. Because the Lord is God. God is the one who created us. God is the one who made us. And the psalmist says, know ye. In other words, don't guess. Don't hope. No. Know that the Lord, He is God. And then he reminds us, is that He hath made us and not we ourselves. Everything begins with God. We didn't create ourselves. God made us. We didn't create this world. God made it. We didn't manufacture every opportunity that we've had. God is the one who opened those doors. We didn't carry ourselves through every difficult season of life. God carried us through those times. And you've seen the poem, The Footprints in the Sand, and there was only one set of footprints there, and that was because God was the one who was carrying us through. It's God. And not we ourselves that have done such great things in this world, but it's God. Take a look in the rearview mirror for a moment. Look back. Think about your life for just a moment. Think about the things that you thought you'd never get through in life. There was a time when you wondered, how in the world am I going to make it through this? But here you are today. You made it through the funeral. Yeah. Not on your own, but because of God's power and God's strength. You made it through financial problems in life that you never thought would be possible. But God did that, not ourselves. We're not patting ourselves on the back. You made it through the disappointment of life. You made it through the storm of life. And if you have to be, you know, if you're honest, you've got to say, I didn't do that by myself. That's why the hymn writer says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Then it asks to see what God hath done. Not myself, but it's God's power. Do you count the blessing of His power? Do you count the blessing of His power? When you begin to count your blessings, is the power of God in your life one of those blessings by which you count? That's the only way I can make it through life is because of God's power. God made me. God is the one who has control. God is all-powerful, not me. I'm not the one who carries myself through these things in life because I cannot do that. Don't just count the blessing. Look behind the blessing and see the blesser. And that's God Himself. Your family, God gave them to you. Your salvation, God provided that. Your strength, God supplies that as well. Every good thing in my life should remind me of the goodness and the power of God. Everything in my life. I count the power of God in my life as a blessing. Not just the things that He provides. Not just the material things in life as well. Great as they are, satisfying as most of them are, some of them are just plain agonizing. But those things are nice and good. They have their place, but they're on a different level than these blessings of God that I count in my life. And that is His presence in my life, His power at work in my life as well. As you think about your blessings, would you count the blessing of being His possession? That is being a child of God. Look at verse 3, the last part of it. It says, we are His people. You see, He is my God, but we have to look at it from God's side, that we are His people. You see that? A dad and a son, you know, they're standing at the sidewalk, you know, and they're getting ready to cross the road and holding on to the little boy's hand, you know. And little boy, just all at once, he goes to dart out across the street and he doesn't make it very far and he almost hangs himself with the arm. And see, that's because dad had a hold of him. Dad had a hold of him. See, we are his child. We are. The little boy thought he was holding dad all that time. This may be one of the greatest statements in this passage, is that we are His people. I belong to God. I don't belong to this world.
I'm not a slave to sin any longer, as BJ said. The old devil, he's got no hold over me unless I give it to him. Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about that. I am His possession. I belong to God. Think about that. The Creator of the universe says that you are mine. Think about that. There's something special about belonging. You know, when a child walks into a crowded room, you know, and they see the father over on the other side, he knows who his father is, and he picks him out of the whole crowd of people that's there. And the father looks over, and he sees the child amongst all the people that are in the room, and he can see, he focuses on his son. Do you understand that God, who created the universe and all the people that are in it, can look into this whole wide world of people and see you? Think about that. That's awesome, is it not? That I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. I belong to Him. See, there's a relationship. There's a belonging. The Christian has that kind of relationship with God. We are His people. The psalmist uses another word picture there as well. He says, and the sheep of His pasture. He says, not only am I belong to Him, we are His people, God claims me as one of His own. Yes, even me. Puts up with me. Hangs on to me, loves me. The psalmist uses another picture here, and that is the sheep of His pasture. Why sheep? Sheep wander away. Sheep get into trouble. Sheep need a shepherd to lead them. And some of us, you know, it's the same with us, rather. We need a shepherd. We need somebody to lead us. We need somebody to protect us. We need someone to correct us. We need someone to provide for us. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. What a blessing. I belong to Jesus. Jesus is my shepherd. I am one of the sheep in His pasture. You know what sheep claim to be? You know, their only defense is just looking pretty sometimes. And that's about it. You know, they're the dumbest animal in Scripture. And so what does that say about us? We need a shepherd. That's what it says. Because we can't survive on our own. But you see, I am His. I belong to Him. I'm one of His children. And because of that, he says, you're the sheep of my pasture as well. And so he says, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. And I'm going to give you everything that you possibly need in this life. We need a shepherd. What a blessing. I belong to Jesus. Jesus is my shepherd. The psalm told us about God's presence, told us about His power, and our belonging to Him. Now the psalmist is going to tell us how we ought to respond. I count it as a blessing to be a child of God. When you go to count your blessings, count the blessing of being able to enter into His presence. Count the blessing of His power in your life. Count the blessing of being His child. And then next we move on to this. Count, as you think about your blessings, would you count the blessing of His permanence? Verse 5. Notice what we see. Verse 5. I missed one, didn't I? Yeah, verse 4. Verse 4. Count the blessing of His praise. Take a look. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Notice the emphasis there. Thanksgiving, praise. Be thankful, bless His name. Grateful people praise God. Thankful people praise God. And so we count the blessing of His praise. I get to praise Him. His presence and power, and I'm one of His children, and it just leads me just to overwhelmingly praise Him for who He is in life. You see, the right response to God's blessing is praise. Praise isn't just something that we do. Praise is an attitude that we carry. Anybody can be thankful when everything is going right. Because then we're happy. We're satisfied. With some of these things that are going on. We have a tendency to worry and wonder about things. And so we wonder about bills and we wonder about health and we wonder about family and all of those things that we can't control. You can't control any of those things at all. That's why we have a shepherd. That's why I'm his child. That's what God's power in my life is for, and his presence that I can go to. You see, I'm not to worry about those things. What we ought to do is spend that same amount of time that we spend worrying and fretting and trying to control in our life. We ought to spend that same amount of time praising God. And then watch how things change and turn around in your life. You see, we ought to praise him for the great things that he's done. He saved me. He forgave me. He's given me another day. He's given you another day. He's provided for me. He's protected me. He's promised me heaven. And so which list is it? Which list is greater? The one that pouts that says, "Oh Lord, I don't, the money and Lord the health and Lord this and that," or now I can over on this side I can praise him, you know, for my salvation. I can pray him for the forgiveness and I can pray him for that hope of eternal life with him and all those blessings of life that he's bestowed upon me. We need to stop counting our problems and start counting our blessings, because God is great. Greater than our problems. So we ought to praise him. You can't always change your circumstances, but you can change what you choose to count. You can count your problems, your burdens, or you can count your blessings in life. It's your choice. As you think about your blessings, would you count the blessing of his permanence? Verse 5. See, I finally got there. I'm a little slow, but I get around the track. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. One thing you can count on, and that is the fact that God does not change. God does not change. If he says, "You are my child, you are his child," God, no matter what it is possibly that you would ever do in life, God is never going to kick you out of his family. God will always be at work in your life. Sometimes that work might involve chastisement. When you get into problems, I think Bethany mentioned it on Wednesday, you get a whooping. And so that's the power of God in your life, working, bringing you back into his presence with gladness and singleness of heart. And so here we say one thing, God does not change. I want to consider three things here about this unchanging God that we have. Notice it says there, for the Lord is good. God doesn't change. That means God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And so the Lord is good. That helps us to understand that God is pleasant. God is precious. And that's what the word good means. It means valuable. God is very valuable to us. Everything that God does is expression of his goodness. It doesn't say there, the Lord is good when everything is going good. It simply declares the Lord is good. Job lost almost everything. The only thing he didn't lose was his wife. Lost everything else. Was God still good? Yeah. Paul suffered tremendously. Prayed to have that thorn in the flesh removed again and again and again. And God said no. Was God still good? Still good. Still the same God. He doesn't change. David suffered. Is God still good? Sure. Daniel suffered, thrown into the lion's den because he was praying. Three Hebrews were thrown into the fiery furnace. Was God still good? Yeah. God is still good regardless of what is going on in my life. God is still good. That is, God is beneficial. God is still valuable. Why? Because his presence is still with me. His power is still available to do what he wants done. You see, God is unchanging. Yet God's goodness never changes regardless of the bad circumstances that come into my life. A bad circumstance does not make a good God bad. It doesn't mean that God is angry with me. God's not treating me fairly, you see. I don't understand why God is allowing these things to happen in my life. God's got a reason. God's got a purpose. And you can trust the fact that He's good. He's always good in your life. Regardless of what you're going through, eventually it will be something good come about. All things, the Bible says, work together for good to them that love Him, to the called according to His purpose. The believer knows that if it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, the Bible says, that's why we come to know Him as Savior in the first place. Was because of His goodness. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the goodness of God in our lives. God is good all the time, regardless of what the circumstances are going on in my life. His goodness is a blessing to count. Don't leave it off the list. The fact that God is good, and praise Him for that as well. Second, consider the blessing of His eternal grace as well. Notice it says, for the Lord is good. He doesn't change. He's always good. God can never be bad for you. God can, you know, there are some people that are just bad for you. You know, they're good for a while. Something happens. The apple turns sour, you know, and it gets rotted or so forth. And so you've got to, you know, they've changed. But God never changes. And as far as His goodness is concerned, and it also says His mercy is everlasting. What a blessing. Because if we're honest, we don't just need God's blessings. We need God's mercy. We need God's mercy. We've made mistakes. We've failed God. We've wandered like sheep. But His mercy is everlasting. Do you understand that you can spend money until the bank account reaches zero? You can use up all the gasoline in your car. You can empty a pantry of all the food that's in there. You can even wear out a pair of shoes. But you cannot exhaust the mercies of God. It says His mercy is everlasting. Now, how long is everlasting? Exactly the point. That's His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. It's ongoing. And so you'll never run out of God's mercy. God will always have it. Yesterday's failures do not empty God's mercy for you. Think about that. When you woke up this morning, His mercy was there again, fresh, filled, and ready for another day. And tomorrow will be the same thing all over again. You see, we say, well, I used all mine yesterday, and so I'm out of luck today. No. Each and every morning, go back to the well, because it's filled to overflowing again, brand new, fresh, ready to go again for that day. And the next day, you'll find the same thing. Why? Because God is good, and His mercy will last. Or His mercy is everlasting, the Bible says. Oh, what a blessing it is to count the God's mercy in my life. Thank you, God, for Your mercy. When you're counting your blessings, don't forget this one. If God never gave you another material blessing, salvation alone would give you the reason to praise Him throughout all of eternity because of His mercy upon you. And then third and finally, consider the blessing of His enduring guarantee. His enduring guarantee. What is that? His truth endureth to all generations. Do you understand that this morning, Brother Robert, he's down and he's teaching when he preaches sometimes. But at the Sunday school lessons, and he's looking back, he's going through Micah at the moment. You know, the prophet Micah in the Old Testament, years and years and years ago. His truth endureth to all generations. I don't know how many generations from Micah it is to hear, but it's still the same. Still applies. It's still faithful. Nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to be taken out of it. And it applies to us yet today as well. And it will be for generations to come until Jesus comes. Think about that. His Word of God, the Word of God. You can go to the Word of God. Lord, I've got a problem in my life, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. It's right here. Let God speak to you through His Word. It endures through all generations so that you can come to it, and you, God, speak to my heart through Your Word. Everything around us is changing. Opinions change. Culture changes. Look at the culture we're in today. I won't go there. People change. Technology changes. Oh, I hate that one. Oh, my stars. You know, and it's getting so I can't even, talk on the phone no more. I don't know how to operate the thing anymore. And so generations change, but God's Word remains. That's why we can build our lives upon God's Word and not the culture, not the technology, not AI and chat and all of these things. It's God's Word that never changes. God is faithful. His Word is enduring. What God has promised yesterday is still true today, and it will be true again tomorrow. Psalm 100 doesn't end with our blessings. It ends with God. It ends with God. Don't just count your blessings. Count on the one who is the source of every blessing in your life. You see, when you look around and see problems, you look ahead, you see uncertainty in life, you don't know what's going to happen. When you look behind, you see all the mistakes, and the devil whispers, look at all this mess. Look at all these things that are wrong out here. When you can't see anything good around you, look back at what God has already done and start counting your blessings. And he says, days and days and days it'll take you to count all of those blessings in life. But start with God, God's presence, God's power, the fact that you belong to Him and that praise is there for what He's done and is doing and who He is in your life. And the fact that God never changes is where you want to start, and that is to start with God Himself. You see, count your salvation, blessing. Count the blessing of God's mercy that's never ending. Count His goodness, His presence, His promise, His protection. Count the times that God carried you through when I just didn't think I was going to make it and I just didn't have the strength to do it. And I don't know what happened, but I made it through. I can tell you what happened. It was God. God happened in your life. There's where we need to count our blessings, is that God brought us through. And then just keep counting. Just keep counting. Because the longer you count, the more you realize God has been better to me than I deserve. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, starting with Jesus as your personal Savior. Stand with me. We're going to sing hymn 471 in your hymn book. It's not going to be up on the screen. 471, count your blessings. This day, you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Kind of hard to count the blessing of God in your life when you don't know Him, when you're not one of His children. Today's a great day to come before Him today and to say, Lord, I thank You for Calvary's cross and Jesus' willingness to die on the cross for me. I know that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, and I'm crying out the best way I know how, and I place my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord, take over my life. Be my shepherd. I want to be one of Your children. If you've never done that, today's the day. But if you're here today and you know Christ as Savior, are you counting your blessings? Starting with God Himself, don't leave Him off your list. Count your blessing, 471.